Vanderbilt head football coach Bobby Johnson. Coach, how you doing this morning?
Great. How y'all doing?
Bobby, this time of year, we always talk to you, and it's always interesting because I know you guys really get heavily into self-scouting and really, you know, take a hard look at the way you do stuff. And I know one of the things that we have pointed out pretty consistently and is the lost yardage that really hurts you guys on kick coverage especially. Is that near the top of your to-do list when you, and I know it probably was for spring practice, but also when you begin fall practice?
Well, it was on the to-do list. It's already been done list. We took an extensive look at the kicking game and what we needed to do. And, sometimes it's a personnel change, sometimes it's a scheme change, and sometimes it's a little bit of both. So, we looked at each one of them and said, what can we do to make it better? And, if it means putting our starters out there and going there from the get-go, we'll do it. But, you're right. That's always a situation that you want to check out and find out what you can improve without a lot of effort. I mean, you can just by a little bit of concentration just saying, all right, let's concentrate on this a little bit better, we can make a big improvement.
Now, this is also the time of year in a lot of cases where you see a staff of one program, maybe go huddle with an NFL team or another college team. Do you plan on having your guys do that?
We've already done some of that, and it was very productive. And, everybody has a lot of ideas, and, sometimes it's hard to go to another place and see an idea, and it's really, ingrained in their system, and sometimes it's hard to put in place in your system. But, some one little thing may help. We got some tips on the kicking game from somebody.
You want to tell us where you went?
Ohio State.
Not bad.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
Are you going to wear a sweater vest this year?
No, but I talked to Coach Trestle, and, he said we're from the 1AA ghetto, so we're blood brothers. So, it's fun to see people and see how they do it and compare, and sometimes it reinforces what you're doing, and sometimes it makes you look at your ways you're doing things.
Replacing everybody on the offensive line, I know, is another big thing for this coming season. How do you feel like guys progress as you made your way through the spring with some guys who have played some?
What's that last part?
You have some guys on the offensive line with some experience, but how did you feel like the group came together as you went through the spring?
I think they did well. And like you say, we've had some guy like Bradley Villing. He played a lot last year. It's not like we're throwing a guy in who's never played, and Eric Kinsley's played some, and Ryan Custer has played a lot. Thomas Welch has played a lot, so they're not exactly rookies or untested players. So we knew this situation was coming up, and so we got those guys some playing time last year, and I think it's going to pay off for us. But those guys have got to create their own identity. Offensive lineman, every place I've ever coached, and of course I haven't coached but three places, but that's the closest group, and it just sort of happens. They gravitate toward each other, start doing things together, and you got to build that kind of camaraderie with them, and they take a lot of pride in what they do, because just like we always know, they don't get a lot of credit and get a lot of blame and not a lot of notoriety.
Bobby, as you ended spring, in the next phase is, obviously it doesn't end there. The work has to continue. How much did you stress, and what's the program like for you guys in the summer leading up to training camp?
Well, we're very fortunate, Frank, that our administration has seen that it's extremely valuable for our guys to be in summer school, and it's a whole lot easier nowadays to keep your guys in shape, because they're volunteer workouts, but you got a strength coach down there supervising everything and getting them in great shape, and who needs extra help or extra work or whatever. Used to be you sent them home for the summer and you gave them a card system or some kind of way that you communicate that they're working out, and you know, half of them weren't, half of them were. Now you know exactly what's going on, and it's just a whole lot easier.
Plus, it benefits the kids to, you know, take a couple extra classes, and it eases the workload maybe during the fall or spring.
No doubt about it. We've had great success academically because of the summer school program. You don't have to take a full load during the fall or the spring. This past spring, we had a grade point average of 2.92 on our football team, and that's really unbelievably high. Especially at a tough school like Vanderbilt. And I think we had 50 guys on our football team this past term have a 3.0 or better.
Wow.
Bobby, when you look at the situation that USC is going through now with O.J. Mayo, different sport basketball, but something that you can relate to, and that is keeping agents away from players that you know are going to probably be draft eligible the next year. A compliment to you that there have been more of them at Vanderbilt than in recent years. But how do you draw the line there with your players to try to explain to them that, you know, if they bring a middleman or an agent of an agent into the fold, how ruinous it can be not only to them but your program?
Well, we have a meeting with them or several meetings with them and try to tell them all the rules of you know, agents and, you know, professionalism and things like that, and just hope that they're listening. And we bring up certain cases, you know, that happened in the past where guys have ruined their eligibility or gotten in trouble after the fact. And, you know, it's just, you know, our guys are pretty smart. And
is it your responsibility, though, Coach, if, say, one of your players, Earl Bennett, just say, in his sophomore year, was in that situation, and he had a flat screen TV in his dorm room. He had a lot of jewelry on that you noticed. Is it your responsibility to notice those things or spot check or keep your kind of spies out there if something happened? I'm just saying you, but as you know, coaches like a Pete Carroll or their basketball coach out there.
Well, I don't really think so. If you do notice something or you hear about something, you have to investigate and you have to do the work on the front side. You know, try to get, you know, preventative in the thing, and but you're not going to stop, you know, all the backdoor stuff that could happen, except by education and except by, you know, trying to instill a little honor in your players and your program, and if you go out and you run your program in an honorable way, hopefully they're gonna follow suit and do the same thing.
Vanderbilt coach Bobby Johnson is our guest. I know coaches, you know, no matter how well-meaning you are, it has to be difficult to just simply know all the rules. I know you have compliance people that, you know, that's their job, but how do you, you know, keep up to date on what exactly all the rules are, because there are a lot of variations of everything?
Well, you learn them real quickly because most of them are reactions to incidents or somebody breaking the rules. And just like the new, you know, no text messaging. I mean, it gets a lot of publicity, and everybody knows you can't text now. Everybody knows the head coaches can't be on the road. Well, some people know. Some people haven't gotten the word yet.
You mean the Nick Saban video conferencing system?
I didn't say anything.
Jeez.
I did not say anything.
Mr. Loophole.
Well,
it's your boy.
But it's not as quite as hard as you think, to keep up with them, because there's so much exposure to them. And they make you take a test, and the test is a lot harder than knowing the rules. You may not know the exact letter of the law, but you ought to know enough that where you go, I don't know if I need to do this or not, or can I do this? And that's when you call your compliance director. And that's what a coach has to know, you know, when to be cautious, when to call the compliance director. And most of it is common sense.
Bobby, finally, if there's one thing that's changed dramatically in the last 5 years in your business, it's the rising salaries for coordinators. And maybe that's good, because in a lot of cases, and you were an assistant coach, for a long time and probably woefully underpaid, but now it's almost gone the other way with about 10 schools really paying not just top dollar, but almost stupid money to bring coordinators in. What kind of long-range effect, if any, do you think that's going to have on the balance of power and just the way guys like you do business in assembling your staff and trying to keep it together?
Well, if you amortize all that money over those years, you're still woefully underpaid. So it's a little catch-up. But, you know, it's going to be hard. The really rich programs, successful programs, you know, with athletic programs who make a profit and have the extra money to spend, you know, they're going to have an advantage in hiring staff. And I think that's going to be a huge advantage for some programs. But, you know, it's just like recruiting. You know, you can get some great coaches and, you know, you want to pay them a fair wage and make sure that they're happy and make sure they got a chance to you know, feel like they're appreciated
yeah.
and doing a good job. But, you know, it's the market, and you can't argue with it right now. Will it get too high? You know, probably. And I think you'll see it level off some. And some schools are going to say, well, we can't get in that war, and you need to hire the best ones you can at this wage. And I think it'll start to subside a little bit.
It's like Ingram. In a few years, you guys won't be able to afford him on the sidelines.
He's no doubt
he's a high-priced talent now.
Yeah. No doubt about that. you know, we'll just you know, have to see him go up to, I don't know, he wouldn't go to Kentucky, would he?
Oh, yeah.
Too many in a heartbeat. Depends on what they're paying. You never know what we talk about when I go out there for the coin toss, you know?
That's true.